Sister John and I are very glad to be here again in the Okanagan Valley. Some of you may remember that we used to be a part of this class years ago. And as some of you also may know, that some of our family is again part of this class here. So we feel quite close to the brethren here in the Okanagan. We're very happy to see you all again. And of course, we knew the Furnettes back in Saskatchewan years ago, so our fellowship goes back many, many years. Even to the time that we were married, they came to our wedding 41 years ago, brother and sister Furnettes. And of course, the other brethren that used to be in this class here. And you know, as I glance around the room, I realize that the Furnettes are the only ones that are still in the class that were here when we were here. All the rest have been replaced by other brethren. It's amazing. There used to be the Embletons I can't think of that. What were their names? Phillips, yes. Karras's, yes. All those brethren were here at that time, but no longer with us. But we do bring love and greetings from our most recent pilgrim trip. We were in Europe for close to a month, and we had the opportunity to travel in England and France and Germany. It's the policy of the Dawn to send someone to the Korbach Convention in Germany, and we've been there a few times before, but we always go to the other countries as well. The Dawn likes to send someone there to make it worthwhile to make a trip. We also stopped into Belgium this time, the first time we've been in Belgium, to visit brethren there. So we had the opportunity to visit with quite a few brethren over that period of 3.5 weeks. And the reason I'm mentioning this is because they all sent greetings to you. Every place we went, they all said, well, be sure and give our love and greetings to whoever you see in America. So there were a lot of individual greetings from individual brethren to individual brethren here, but I think the best thing to say is all the brethren in England and France and Germany, and especially the Korbach Convention, all send their love and greetings to you. As Ken has drawn our attention to the fact that this is a theme discourse, and you have the theme discourse right there on that poster, Psalm 90 and verse 12. But you notice that the scripture begins with the word so. So. That means that we need to go back a little bit to see what that means. It's referring to something that's previous. It would be like saying, therefore, number our days. So I'm going back to the 10th verse. You'll see this in Psalm 90. And if you go back to the 10th verse and then connect it to the 12th verse, I think that the word so or therefore will make a little more sense to us. Verse 10, the days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Now, verse 12, so, or therefore, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So there is the word wisdom in connection with this passage as well. Throughout the scriptures, we recall that every once in a while it'll say that the wise shall understand. Those who are wise are those who recognize the great calling in the gospel age, present time, the greatest calling that has ever gone out or ever will be. And you, brethren, here are responding to that, of course. And that's why we love to see you. Because we have this in common, that we've heard that wonderful invitation to walk with our Lord Jesus, and we are so walking to the best of our ability. Now, in this 90th Psalm, if we go back to the beginning, We relate it to the Heavenly Father, whose days are without number. And if we go to verse 1, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Can you just imagine this thought that is presented to us here, from everlasting to everlasting? Being of the humankind, we can see the possibility that we wouldn't die. We can see the possibility that one day the world of mankind being brought back to perfection, as long as they're continuing in obedience, they won't have to die. So we don't have any great difficulty with that perspective of into the future. But to go back the other direction with the Heavenly Father, from everlasting to everlasting, is one that we can't grasp. How wonderful that we have this calling, and how wonderful that we have one who knows our days. God knows he can number each one of our days. But the only reference point we have, of course, is this 10th verse that tells us that we have about 70 years. And if we have strength enough to last until we're 80, it's going to be filled with difficulties. And you know, as I look around the room, and I'm in this category too, because I'm included in this 70 and 10. And I think that quite a few others are also included here. So really this, and I love this scripture. Whoever picked this scripture, and I think I know who it was too. I think it was my sister-in-law. I think she picked this scripture. It's a wonderful scripture, because it's so serious. It gives us something to really think about. And as the Lord's people gathered here in Vernon this weekend, we have this wonderful opportunity to see each other and to realize that the Lord is directing the lives of each one, and how happy that makes us. We're delighted to see you all. This scripture suggests a reference to time. Time is a measurement, of course, but it's also a commodity. It's a measurement that is very precise. There is a saying that time waits for no man. And here we are, 2 o'clock in the afternoon on the second day of this convention, and are not some of us asking, where'd all the time go? I thought we just got here. I thought that Violet and Al just picked us up at the airport. Where did the time go? So there's this time, and this is what's connected with this, because as we continue in this 90th Psalm, verse 4 tells us, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. And then, of course, we won't take time to read all this text leading up to what we have before us. But we can relate this to the great God of the universe who does number our days, and we have this reference that suggests that we have this much time allotted to us. And we want to make sure that we consider very well the reference in verse 12, that we use wisdom in what we do with it. We said that we asked the question, where did all the time go? And yet we're living in a day and age when the world has a shorter work week. There are all kinds of labor-saving devices. And yet you ask anybody about time, and probably most people will tell you we haven't got time to do what we'd like to do. But all this extra time. Now, when I was a young person, even when I started working in the shops and left the farm, I used to work a 50-hour week. That was a standard work week at that time, 50 hours. I think it's down to, well, it's less than 40 in not many places now. But with that extra time, you would think that there is are many more hours that we would have to do the things that we should use wisely in doing. And with the labor-saving devices, we don't have to do many of the things that we used to, so there should be a lot of extra time. But people all say they don't have enough time to do what they'd like to do. That's because the pace of life has increased that dramatically since most of us who are 70 are able to look back and see how dramatically the pace of life has increased. And so this is why I think this is a very good scripture, and I really thank you for choosing this scripture for us to think about this afternoon, because we have to learn to number these days that we have before us. You know, back in the Middle Ages, they would have a clock. Well, first of all, there would be a sundial. And the sundial, of course, would just give you an approximate time from, say, 2 o'clock in the afternoon to 3 as you follow from the sun. And the earliest clocks only had one hand to relate to this sundial concept. 1 hour and 2 hours. In between didn't matter that much. People weren't in such a hurry. They had to work 16 hours a day, 7 days a week. They didn't have all these labor-saving devices, but they had all kinds of time to think upon the Lord and those things that are necessary that we don't have today. So there really is a problem, isn't there? They have atomic clocks now, so we know exactly, precisely, the time. And brethren, that clock is ticking for every one of us. Time is a commodity in limited supply. We can't make more of it. We can't buy it. We can't prolong it. And yet the clock is ticking for each one of us. There's another saying relating to our present time. So little time and so much to do. I have a little souvenir cup at home, and it says, so many books and so little time. So everybody realizes this and appreciates it. So let's consider some of the scriptures that relate to this in a positive way in connection with our desire to know and do the will of God. In Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, now, this is part of Solomon's biography, autobiography, the autobiographical sketches of Solomon. And it's Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter. Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, there's a lot about time. And this chapter relates to the vanity of man and his desire to have a good life and so on. And we won't read all these verses, but just to give you a point of reference here, verse 1 says, to everything there is its season and any time to every purpose under heaven. And then for several verses, we have this relation about time to do all these various features. And this is part of the vanity of life. Reason being, because he says over in the 19th verse that for that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them, as one dieth, so dieth the other. Yes, they all have one breath, so that a man hath no prominence above a beast, for all is vanity. So he uses the word vanity in that verse. And verse 17, he says, I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for every purpose and for every work. So let's consider some scriptural evidence in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul, for example, in 1 Corinthians 7:29 says, the time is short. Well, brethren, he said that a long time ago. A long, long time ago, and he said the time was short. So what is he talking about? I think if we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6:2, without belaboring the fact that the time is short, if we look at 2 Corinthians, we should get an answer to some of the apostles' questioning here. In the 6th chapter, we read this, beginning with verse 1. Who then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain? Well, we just learned from Solomon that he was referring to time in relationship to vanity, man's vanity. I think the Apostle Paul is also suggesting perhaps that Israel as a nation was not receiving the proper, in the proper sense of obedience, were receiving that measure of God's wonderful grace in vain. But you know, I think he's also speaking to us who are living here in the gospel age. And if we continue in this 6th chapter, we notice that it begins to address that very point. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. Now, the apostle is talking about an acceptable time. Now, when do you suppose this acceptable time is that he's talking about? Now, he's writing this way back in A.D. 60-something. A very, very long time ago. He's talking about the acceptable time. And a day of salvation. This is still verse 2. Have I succored thee? Behold. And this is the point we want to make and leave it with you today. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Well, obviously, he's not talking to the world of mankind. He's obviously not talking to those who have this prospect of vanity, seeking a good life. He's talking to the Lord's people who would separate themselves from the world and its influences, seek to know and do the will of God, make a serious commitment to be buried with our Lord Jesus and to walk with him in newness of life. He's talking to you. You, brethren, realize that now is the acceptable time to make your consecration, to live a life of sacrifice, be faithful unto death, to share in the wonderful coming blessings of the opportunity to bless the whole world of mankind. He's talking to those of the bride class, a limited number, 144,000, that will share with our Lord Jesus in dispensing these wonderful life-giving blessings to the whole world of mankind and whatever is beyond that. Because we realize that this is the acceptable time of sacrifice. We know that this is the day of salvation. Obviously not the day of salvation for the world of mankind, but the day of salvation for those who have made this commitment and are striving to be faithful unto death. I think this would be one way that we could number our days wise, and to apply wisdom to this reference point here from the psalmist. To realize the seriousness of our calling, to realize that this is carrying on during a very limited time period. And brethren, I believe that we are nearing the end of the gospel age, and I believe we're nearing the end of the harvest of the gospel age. So it is my belief that there are not too many more years are going to go by before this number is completed. Those who have been advised to use care and caution and wisdom and a spiritual walk, to do what is advised, that is, to consider carefully the great calling that we are engaged in. We'll try to go through just a few passages of Scripture to set the reference here in connection with this wonderful calling that we have responded to. And indeed, it is a wonderful calling. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, we read in verse 20 that by a new and living way, a new and living way, which he, that is our Lord Jesus, hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And we know this was accomplished on the cross. And it reflects back to the time on the cross when he completed his sacrifice and made it possible for us to walk this way and be acceptable, because we're all sinners, and yet God has provided a way of acceptance for us that we might be faithful. And of course, our Lord Jesus is at the very center, most point of this wonderful plan for us. Going back to the 9th chapter in verse 24, we read, "For Christ has not entered into the holy places." You notice in Hebrews he's relating to the Levitical types, so that's why the language reads thus. "Not into the holy places made with hands," which are the figures, that's the type of the true, "but into heaven itself, and now to appear in the presence of God for us." That's why that we understand and appreciate the present gospel age as being a calling to those who have been made accepted. And the day of salvation, of course, will be given to the whole world of mankind in the providence of God after this wonderful work has been accomplished. In Romans 12:1, a scripture that we all are familiar with, and yet in this perspective, let us read this verse again as it is given to us. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren," he's talking to the brethren, "by the mercies of God, that ye present," or I like the word "yield" better, because that's what the word means. It means to yield, not just to present it once when you make a baptism and then you can coast along the rest of the way, but you yield your body as a living sacrifice all your lifetime until the end, using wisdom and numbering our days with care. Because we have this opportunity to yield our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and, what's the next word? Acceptable. This is the day of acceptable. It applies to us, those who have been made acceptable, and the time of being acceptable to the Heavenly Father in this wonderful plan, which is your reasonable service. And in First Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, we read this. 1 Peter 2 and verse 5. "You also, as lively or living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up sacrifices that are acceptable to God." The reason they are acceptable is because of our faith in the one who made it possible, and that is our Lord Jesus, who died and made our sacrifice acceptable to God. And Peter, of course, is talking about this as well. all of this suggests priorities. We're human beings, and we have to make selections as to our time and attention all the time. We have to buy time. Even though we have a shorter work week and labor-saving devices that give us more time, we don't seem to have enough. So we have scriptures that tell us that we have to redeem the time. And these are priorities. These are things that we exercise in our minds on a daily basis to make priorities that we may even unconsciously number our days, as our scripture text tells us, advises us, to always have this in our hearts and minds, to have these priorities, to do what would be acceptable to God, and to walk in newness of life, to seek those things which are before, that we might be faithful. The world doesn't understand or appreciate this. They aren't called for that yet. Their day of salvation will come later, but this is our day of salvation. This is our day when it is acceptable to make these offerings to the Heavenly Father, and we're very glad to have responded to this calling. There are two places in Paul's writings, one in Ephesians and one in Colossians, where this word redeem is used. And as we know, the word redeem means to buy back. Strong's Concordance will explain that's the meaning of this word, redeem. And there are these two scriptures that give us a scripture where Paul used this word to buy back, or redeem in English. Ephesians 5:16 is one. And it says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Again, brethren, this was written a long, long time ago. And do we not see the pace of life and the increased pace of evil and corruption all about us today? I can't begin to say how much it has increased since some of us were younger. Because again, I fall into this category of 70 plus. And we only have 70 plus, maybe plus 10, according to the psalmist, the Word of God. And many of us are in this category. And the days are evil. We are living in a very evil day. If Paul was suggesting to the Ephesian brethren that it was an evil day then, I wonder what he would say. I wonder what his comments would be in connection with what we see taking place in the world now. But it's not only evil, but it's a dangerous world, isn't it? We are living in a dangerous time. And the apostle is telling us to redeem the time because they are so evil and so dangerous. We have to buy back time because Satan is always ready to take it away in one way or another. And we'll have the other scripture before we go to the one I'm just about to speak about now. But the other reference point is in Colossians 4:5, where the same word redeem is used. These are the two places where it's used. Colossians 4:5 says, walk in wisdom. Well, we recognize the word wisdom as a very important one in connection with this part of the lesson, because that's what the psalmist tells us in our text. To apply this to wisdom, number our days, and to apply it to wisdom. Paul says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. It's the same word. So, brethren, I think we recognize very quickly the priorities and the prospect we have of being a part of this marvelous calling and an arrangement of God to share with our Lord Jesus as being part of his bride class. Sometimes the saying is made that if you want something done, ask a busy person. It suggests that a busy person can somehow find time to do it just a little bit more. And it's true. You find a person who just wants to sit around and do nothing, he never has time for anything. But a busy person seems to be able to find time for just one more thing. And we also think of the thought that says, do today. Don't put it off to tomorrow. Don't put off tomorrow what you can do today. And this relates to this whole subject of what the psalmist is telling us and teaching us. After relating the great God of the universe with no beginning and no end, and then telling us to number our days because they are already allotted to us in this short span of time, let's use wisdom and understanding and the Spirit of the Lord that we might carry on to the best of our ability to be faithful. Now, a moment ago, a point came into my mind. I was just kind of holding it over to now, but the thought is that we're living in the day of temptation. And the Revelator tells us this in the third chapter of Revelation. This is the day of temptation. It's associated with all the evils and the corruption that we see in the world. A day of temptation, especially for the young people who are surrounded by all the temptations that the adversary has put in their way. Well, we're living in a time when we need to be very careful and number our days with great care and using the spirit of a sound mind and great wisdom to carry out our consecration. I see our time is nearly up, so we'd like to turn to Philippians chapter 3, and we'll use this as a concluding thought from the great Apostle Paul. And in these verses, in the third chapter, as a matter of fact, throughout the Philippians, there's a wonderful message that the Apostle gives us here, and we can appreciate the great depth of love he had for the Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus, and a desire to number his days with great care and to use wisdom. We can just see it in everything he did and said and wrote for us nearly 2,000 years later. And those things that he wrote at that time are so pertinent to us today, especially now. Let's just turn together to Philippians chapter 3 and see what he says. Starting with verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or attained, but this one thing I do. This is the great apostle, and that's why he was the great apostle. That's why the Lord used him in such a remarkable way, because he knew that that would be his mind and intention and purpose if he could be properly directed, and he was. This one thing I do. And brethren, as we leave this particular portion of the convention, let us keep this in mind. This one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But what a remarkable testimony this is. What a marvelous legacy These words are to us as we realize the time is short and that we are still in this acceptable time of sacrifice. This is our day of salvation. Number your days, brethren, with care and with wisdom, that you might be faithful even unto death and to share those wonderful blessings of the kingdom. Let us number our days. Our loving and eternal Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the privilege that we've had to be here in this place with these dear brethren this weekend. We thank Thee and we praise Thee for the gift of Thy dear Son who has made it all possible. We thank Thee for this text of Scripture that we have considered this past time. And we pray that Thou wilt continue to teach us to number our days and to apply them with wisdom. We pray that we may be faithful even unto death and to hear Thy well done, good and faithful servant, enter Thou into the joy of Thy Lord. Forgive us our sins and shortcomings. Forgive us all the things that we do that come short of Your perfect will. And now as we dismiss, we pray Your blessing upon all those others who would like to have been here this weekend but were unable for one reason or another. And we thank Thee for all things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.